Chapter 45 of A. At 9 we were in July and found ripe strawberries. At 9:30 we were in June and gathered flowers belonging to that month. At 10 we were in May and gathered a flower which appeared in Heidelberg the 17th of that month. Also forget-me-nots, which disappeared from Heidelberg about mid-May. At 11:30 we were in April by the flowers. At noon we had rain and hail mixed, and wind and enveloping fogs, and considered it March. At 12:30 we had snowbanks above us, and snowbanks below us, and considered it February. Not good February though, because in the midst of the wild desolation the forget-me-not still bloomed, lovely as ever. What a flower garden the gem I passes. After I had got my hands full, Joe made me a paper bag, which I pinned to my lapel and filled with choice specimens. I gathered no flowers which I had ever gathered before except four or five kinds. We took it leisurely, and I picked all I wanted to. I mailed my harvest to you a while ago. Don't send it to Mrs. Brooks until you have looked it over, flower by flower. It will pay. Among the clouds and everlasting snows I found a brave and bright little forget-me-not growing in the very midst of a smashed and tumbled stone debris, just as cheerful as if the barren and awful domes and ramparts that towered around were the blessed walls of heaven. I thought how Lily Warner would be touched by such a gracious surprise, if she, instead of I, had seen it. So I plucked it, and have mailed it to her with a note. Our walk was 7 hours, the last two down a path as steep as a ladder, almost, cut in the face of a mighty precipice. People are not allowed to ride down it. This part of the day's work taxed our knees, I tell you. We have been loafing about this village, Lukerbid, for an hour. Now we stay here over Sunday. Not tired at all.
Joe's hat fell over the precipice, so he came here bareheaded.
I love you, my darling. SAML. St. Nicholas, August 26, 78. Livy darling, we came through a whooping today, 6 hours tramp up steep hills, and down steep hills, in mud and water shoe deep, and in a steady pouring rain which never moderated a moment. I was as chipper and fresh as a lark all the way, and arrived without the slightest sense of fatigue. But we were soaked, and my shoes full of water, so we ate at once, stripped and went to bed for 2 hours, while our traps were thoroughly dried, and our boots creased in addition. Then we put our clothes on hot, and went to table d'hote. Made some nice English friends, and shall see them at Zermatt tomorrow. Gathered a small bouquet of new flowers, but they got spoiled. I sent you a safety matchbox full of flowers last night from Lukerbid. I have just telegraphed you to wire the family news to me at Riffle tomorrow. I do hope you are all well, and having as jolly a time as we are, for I love you, sweetheart, and also, in a measure, the bays.
Little Susie's word for abies.
Give my love to Clara Spaulding, and also to the Cubs. SAML. This, as far as it goes, is a truer and better account of the excursion than Mark Twain gave in the book that he wrote later. A tramp bay brought has a quality of burlesque in it, which did not belong to the journey at all, but was invented to satisfy the craving for what the public conceived to be Mark Twain's humor. The serious portions of the book are much more pleasing, more like himself. The entire journey, as will be seen, lasted 1 week more than a month. Twitchell also made his reports home, some of which give us interesting pictures of his walking partner. In one place he wrote, "Ark is a queer fellow. There is nothing he so delights in as a swift, strong stream. You can hardly get him to leave one, when once he is within the influence of its fascinations." Twitchell tells how at Candlestick they were out together one evening, where a brook comes plunging down from Gasternthill, and how he pushed in a drift, to see it go racing along the current. Then I got back to the path Mark was running downstream after it as hard as he could go, throwing up his hands and shouting in the wildest ecstasy, and when a piece went over a fall, and emerged to view in the foam below he would jump up and down and yell.
He said afterward that he had not been so excited in 3 months. In other places, Twitchell refers to his companion's consideration for the feeling of others and for animals. When we are driving, his concern is all about the horse. He can't bear to see the whip used or to see a horse pull hard. After the walk over Gemmi Pass, he wrote colon mark today was immensely absorbed in flowers. He scrambled around and gathered a great variety and manifested the intensest pleasure in them. He crowded a pocket of his notebook with his specimens and wanted more room. Whereupon Twitchell got out his needle and thread and some stiff paper he had and contrived the little paper bag to hang to the front of his vest. The tramp really ended at Lawson, where Clemens joined his party, but a short excursion to Chillon and Chamonix followed, the travelers finally separating at Geneva, Twitchell to set out for home by way of England, Clemens to remain and try to write the story of their travels. He hurried a goodbye letter after his comrade. To Rev. J. H. Twitchell. No date, dear old Joe, it is actually all over. I was so low-spirited at the station yesterday, and this morning, when I woke, I couldn't seem to accept the dismal truth that you were really gone, and the pleasant tramping and talking at an end. Ah, my boy. It has been such a rich holiday to me, and I feel under such deep and honest obligations to you for coming. I am putting out of my mind all memory of the times when I misbehaved toward you and hurt you. I am resolved to consider it forgiven, and to store up and remember only the charming hours of the journeys and the times when I was not unworthy to be with you and share a companionship which to me stands first after Livy's. It is justifiable to do this, for why should I let my small infirmities of disposition live and grovel among my mental pictures of the eternal sublimities of the Alps? Livy can't accept or endure the fact that you are gone. But you are, and we cannot get around it. So take our love with you, and bear it also over the sea to Harmony, and God bless you both. Mark. From Switzerland, the Clemens party worked down into Italy, sightseeing, a diversion in which Mark Twain found little enough of interest. He had seen most of the sights 10 years before, when his mind was fresh. He unburdened himself to Twitchell and to Howells, after a period of suffering. To J.H. Twitchell, in Hartford. Rome, November 3, 78. Dear Joe, I have received your several letters, and we have prodigiously enjoyed them. How I do admire a man who can sit down and wail away with a pen just the same, as if it was fishing or something else as full of pleasure and as void of labor. I can't do it, else, in common decency, I would when I write to you. Joe, if I can make a book out of the matter gathered in your company over here, the book is safe. But I don't think I have gathered any matter before or since your visit worth writing up. I do wish you were in Rome to do my sightseeing for me. Rome interests me as much as East Hartford could, and no more. That is, the Rome which the average tourist feels an interest in. But there are other things here which stir me enough to make life worth living. Livy and Clara Spalding are having a royal time worshipping the old masters, and I as good a time gritting my ineffectual teeth over them. A friend waits for me. A power of love to you all. Amen. Mark. In his letter to Howells he said, colon, I wish I could give those sharp satires on European life which you mention, but of course a man can't write successful satire except he be in a calm, judicial good humor. Whereas I hate travel, and I hate hotels, and I hate the opera, and I hate the old masters. In truth, I don't ever seem to be in a good enough humor with anything to satirize it. No, I want to stand up before it, and curse it and foam at the mouth, or take a club, and pound it to rags and pulp. I have got in 2 or 3. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.